Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever wanted something so desperately you actually negotiated with God? Perhaps you made promises of things you'd do if God would do certain things for you. Today, let's look at one of the most remarkable negotiations with God that has ever happened. You'll find it in Genesis chapter 18 in the Bible. Yesterday, we watched Abraham generously receive three men who were walking by his tent in the heat of the day. He'd never seen them before, but he invited them in out of the sun, provided water to wash their hands and feet, and even had a delicious meal prepared for them. As they talked together, one of those visitors shocked Abraham and Sarah by promising that they would be pregnant and have a son by this time the following year. As preposterous as that seemed, since Abraham was almost 99 years old, and Sarah almost 89, and Sarah had been barren all her life, that visitor then challenged their faith with this question: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Genesis 18:14. Let's rejoin this remarkable scene today. The record says, "When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?'" Did you notice the author of Genesis identifies one of the travelers as the Lord? Not the angel of the Lord. No, this is actually God here on earth who has taken on the appearance of a human and has had a meal in Abraham's tent and promised Abraham a son within a year. Now Abraham is about to hear the future as proclaimed by God, who is there with him. Now, don't let this trouble you, my friends, for God can do anything, anytime, anywhere he chooses, right? Many Bible scholars understand this traveler to actually be an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, the Son of God, because of the manner in which he spoke and the things that he said. The record says the Lord continued speaking with Abraham. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Genesis 18:18-19. Once again, these powerful words, spoken in the first person and with authority, suggest this is God himself speaking to Abraham. We see a repetition of the covenant God had made with Abraham in Genesis 15 and 17, but did you notice another new statement of promise, challenge, and life purpose for Abraham? I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. This is the mandate and the miracle of God-honoring parenting, perhaps the most important job on planet Earth. For parents are tasked with raising up the next generation to live wisely in a God-honoring way and raise up the next generation which follows them in the same way. Have you given thought to how many scriptures focus on this great mandate and miracle from God? How about Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to 9, and chapter 30, verse 19 and 20, or Psalm 78, or Psalm 145? In fact, I wonder if Joshua was thinking about this statement that God had made to Abraham when, at the end of his life, Joshua called all Israel together and challenged them to choose which God they would serve and teach their children to serve. And then Joshua said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. Do you hear his promise, both to live in a God-honoring way, but also to raise up the next generation in his household to do the same thing? So let me ask you, look around your part of our world. Look into the schools and anywhere you see the younger generation. The manner in which they live is showing us how well or poorly their parents and grandparents have done what God challenged Abraham to do. So, what do you see? Then the record of Genesis 18 leads us into one of the most startling conversations any human being and God have ever had. The Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Did God really have to send Jesus to investigate by walking the streets of Sodom and Gomorrah to see just how bad things really were? Of course not. God sees perfectly, clearly, all things, in all places, at all times, and God does so with a deeper understanding of what he sees than any human being can understand. There were other reasons for this earthly visit of God, as we will see. What about the outcry that the Lord mentioned? Have you ever considered where this outcry came from, which God had been hearing in heaven, and who was crying out to God? Well, let me ask you, have you ever been in such a dark and desperate place that you cried out in desperation for God's help? Have you ever had a friend or family member in such a dark and desperate place that you cried out to God on their behalf? That's what I think was happening here. Was Abraham among those crying out to God for his family living in the darkness of Sodom? Are you so concerned today for some dear friend or family member who is enslaved to very dark things and self-destroying their lives? Are you crying out to God for them? Let this story in Genesis 18 give you hope that God hears, God cares, and God might even go so far as to come here himself to rescue those in desperation. The record says two of the three travelers went on ahead toward Sodom, but the one identified as the Lord remained with Abraham, looking down into the Sodom and Gomorrah valley and discussing the decadent conditions which were causing an outcry to be heard in heaven. Abraham was overwhelmed with compassion and concern, not only for his own relatives living in Sodom, that would be Lot and his family, but also for others in that place. So Abraham did a courageous and remarkable thing. He negotiated with God. "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham asked the Lord. What a powerful question. Of course, you and I and Abraham all know there is no perfect holy person. No one is righteous. But Abraham continued, "What if there are 50 righteous people in that city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Genesis 18, 24 and 25. That statement tells me Abraham knew he was not speaking with any ordinary man, not even with an angel. He was speaking with God, the judge of all the earth. But Abraham also knew the wicked reputation of both Sodom and Gomorrah, and so he pleaded, he negotiated, he appealed to God's justice and mercy. Tomorrow, we'll look at the remainder of those negotiations. For today, I want us to pause right here, and I ask you to look over your city, no matter how large or small it is. What if God came and took a walk with you, looking through your city? What would God show you? And what if God decided it was justice time for your city? What would be the justice the great judge of all the earth would pour out upon your city? And how do those thoughts, those possibilities, affect you? Are you moved to pray for the people of your city right now? So I found a song to help us consider what God sees and what God could justly do in your city and in mine.